trick or treat.
Get off my lawn.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry. Larry. Larry.
Halloween. It's kind of a thrill ride for the mind, isn't it? In my childhood, no self-respecting kid would ever, ever have gone trick-or-treating accompanied by his parents. And no parent would have subjected their kid to that kind of public humiliation. Unless you were a toddler, that was beyond the pale. Were there psychos and pedos and murderers back then? Hell yeah! There always have been, and despite the beliefs of social engineering nitwits, there always will be. We went trick-or-treating in packs, and so we felt pretty secure bombing around the neighborhood, ringing any doorbell until late in the evening. We had zero fear of adults, and this was Queens, New York, mind you, not Mayberry. We only considered the possibility of trouble with other kids from other neighborhoods. Everyone was kind of territorial. Some would try to start trouble, but I don't recall it ever getting farther than some shoves and fuck yous and your mother's a whore exchanges. Rankouts, we called them. Of course, today, those confrontations would be recorded on iPhones, and there would be cops and crisis counselors and school suspensions and psychologists and anger management, and prescriptions would be written for Xanax and Ritalin and other poisons. For me, the thrill of Halloween wasn't the candy or the costumes. I was never real big on candy at all, but my old man, now he had a sweet tooth like a diabetic rhino. So my brother and I would take care of him first. We'd head for nearby apartment houses, a much more efficient way to collect candy quickly. When doors are only 10 feet apart, you can strafe dozens of domiciles in a matter of minutes. We'd fill entire supermarket bags in like an hour, race home, dump our loads on the kitchen table for Dad, and then head back out. Boom. Dad was set for another year. We were off for more adventure. That urban legend about some sick fuck planting razor blades and apples was making the rounds. It was kind of dumb on the face of it. What kid is going to eat an apple when he's got a bag full of Snickers and Whoppers and Reese's? Then some chooches claimed their kids got candy bars with pins or needles buried in them. In the entire 20th century, there were fewer than 100 cases of Halloween treat tampering. And the cops figured most of those were grifter parents trying to gin up lawsuits against Mars or Hershey's. By the way, I've always found Hershey's chocolate, either the bars or the kisses, to have a scent of vomit. I've mentioned this several times to various people, and I've always gotten the look, you know, that same blank stare you get from the uninformed if you use the word commie. So I duck-duck-goed Hershey's and vomit. I don't use Google, it's a commie outfit. And holy shit, Hershey's and vomit is a thing. I'm not the only one. A story in the Daily Mail says that Hershey's and other American chocolate companies probably put their milk through a process called lipolysis. Doesn't that sound yummy? And lipolysis, whatever stomach-turning chemical process that is, produces butyric acid, the chemical that gives vomit its distinctive smell and acrid taste. I'm frequently calling people puke bags and puke breath. Maybe I'll switch it up and start saying, hey, butyric acid breath. When I think back on some of those kid Halloweens, some of them seem to have been near perfection. Or maybe Maybe my kid brain just interpolated what I was seeing and spliced in all the elements I wanted from the data bank of my mind's eye. The Halloween I wanted played out in a much more rural setting. Massive, gnarly oak trees casting creepy, sinister shadows across rolling hills at sundown. Bats squeaking as they flitted past a burnt orange harvest moon. Smoke curling up from chimneys silhouetted against pink-streaked skies. Owls tucked into the boughs of trees as they hooted with eyes that shone like radium. Black cats skulking across every doorstep. And of course, pumpkins, elaborately carved and lit with candles. Gingerbread homes, decked out with all the right stuff. No inflatables. God, I hate inflatables. They never look good. And the sound of the blowers just, they wreck the mood, don't they? But the kick, the real kick of trick-or-treating for me, and I think for a lot of kids, was really the anticipation and thrill of the unknown. What would be around that next corner or behind that next door? Maybe it would be some towering psycho with a machete or a chainsaw, and holy shit, what fun would it be outrunning him? And what a story to tell at school the next day. Or in my case, the day after. Which was one of the few great things about attending Catholic school. All Saints' Day was a religious holiday. So there was a hellish late curfew on Halloween. When all the public school kids were tucked in for the night, we were still prowling the streets. We were never into the vandalism people called, what, Mischief Night? I guess that was more of a suburban, regional thing. There were damn few trees to toilet paper, and nobody had the money to waste on that, or egging houses. There was very little of that stuff going on. For years now, snowflake safety culture and helicopter parents have eliminated all the fun from Halloween with their safety obsession. Trunk-or-treat or mall trick-or-treating is stupid, pathetic, and unfun. Where the hell is the mystery, adventure, or surprise? Why not just stuff the kid in a costume, park him in front of the TV, and let him eat candy all night while he watches another shitty Disney movie? And now, thanks to China virus fearmongers, goddamn governments are getting involved. At first, California Governor Gavin Newsom, a career politician slash parasite, he outright banned trick-or-treating. Then he and his fellow nematodes walked it back with a litany of Halloween guidelines, the most emphatic of which is they strongly recommend that no one go trick or treating. Everyone who read those guidelines should have printed out hard copies and then wiped their ass with those guidelines and sent them back to Newsom. That's the kind of dialogue we need to have with politicians. Right on the heels of their Halloween commands came the Thanksgiving and Christmas edicts. Because it's never too soon to start issuing commands which you really have no authority to issue. But that's what gets these little punks, dicklets, hard. Every one of them knows they are unaccomplished failures. Most of them were student government asshats in their youth, when they were jeered and ridiculed, and now it's payback. I really believe that's what fuels all these attempted power grabs. So now for Thanksgiving and Christmas, the butyric acid-faced governor has banned gatherings of more than three households, and additionally, no indoor gatherings are permitted, so take it outside. You know, California's a big place. It's not Tahiti. Even down south here in L.A., it can be fucking chilly at night. Up north, and in the mountains, sub-zero temps are common. I wonder if Newsom's considered how that's supposed to work. And what about the millions of people living in apartments and condos? How do they take it outside? You see, things like that don't occur to little Gavin Newsom, a silver spoon Richie Rich, who was born on third base and thinks he hit a home run. He's probably never set foot in an apartment unless it was to bang his campaign manager's wife, who was also his best friend. Yeah, Gavin kinda wishes that would go away, but the internet is forever, isn't it? Still, there will doubtless be a great number of Californians eager to comply with Newsom's regulations because, as with all his bullshit edicts, they are prefaced with the magic phrase that assures compliance from the compliant.
For your safety.
Newsom also wants all holiday gatherings to be less than 2 hours long, and everyone should mask up the moment they put down the fork. Oh yeah, no singing. Singing spreads germs. But I digress. As I grew up, my Halloween fantasies, they took another direction. There were no Halloween parties in high school because I went to a gloomy, unnatural, all-boys Catholic high school, but there were some parties in college. Still, though, those did not meet expectations. And by then, I knew my expectations were unrealistic, but still, I could dream, couldn't I? I wanted a Halloween party, lit and set decorated and scripted like a tentpole Hollywood blockbuster, or maybe a high-budget porno. It would be set in an Addams Family-style mansion, with a creepy butler at the door, and once inside, some Tim Curry clone on a pipe organ would flawlessly perform Toccata and Fugue in D minor. Ooh, the debauchery I would find therein. I would marinate in it. The place would be teeming with pointy chicks, each one more lascivious and wicked than the next. Harley Quinns and Elviras and Vampiras and Cleopatras and Lara Crofts and Jessica Rabbits and Aeon Fluxes and, oh, nurses, lots and lots of nurses in tight white dresses with spike white ankle straps. They'd have shiny stethoscopes swinging between their boobs, and as I'd walk by, they'd claw at me and demand to examine me. There would be witches, covens of witches with 22-inch waists cinched by staved corsets with skyscraper heels and black lace and leather and one mesmerizing, magnetic, mind-numbing, coal-eyed, jet-haired siren would stare right through my skull and crook her onyx-tipped fingernail at me as she flicked the corners of her mouth with her blood-red tongue. Powerless, I'd follow her down a long, dim hallway. She wouldn't really stride. She'd glide. She'd levitate as she moved. The hallway would terminate at a door that she'd never touch, but would somehow open by what? Telekinesis? There she'd pause and glance over her shoulder to reinforce her hold over me. Once through that door, she'd again disappear into the darkness, but I'd have to pursue. I'd see nothing in the blackness, but behind me I'd feel a cold draft, and then there would be light as paraffin torches ignited as she neared them. She'd hurry down a long, curved stone staircase several paces ahead. Finally, at the bottom would be a large vaulted chamber, empty, but for an enormous wooden table lit by candelabra. Again, she'd slip into a dark corner, and I'd follow, squinting to find her in the darkness. I'd hear her laugh and see flash of her teeth, whites of her feline eyes, and her taut décolletage as she leered at me. She'd move closer. Her slinky hand would flick out from her sleeve and curl around my neck and pull me to her. I'd feel her thick hair fall over my face and her warm, damp breath on my throat as her razor-sharp incisors sank deep into my neck. Ooh, if this is eternity, let me have it. The college Halloween parties were never like that. Instead, it was usually some cramped apartment with tinny speakers blasting shit music, a silent television playing MTV through a cold pallor over the room. There'd be a crumbling styrofoam cooler with a few cans of old Milwaukee floating in water that stopped being cold hours ago. Slices of well-coughed-on Papa John pizza would be splayed on a card table surrounded by plastic liter bottles of RC Cola, because that's 27 cents cheaper than Coke. Oh, and some flat club soda and rot gut booze, right? Papa vodka or Gavilan tequila. Piss like that. Cheap grass would cloud the air and singe your sinuses. And the one chick wearing a witch costume had a crossed eye, a 40-inch waist, and a real wart on her nose, big enough to cork a bottle of Chianti. Happy fucking Halloween. But at least as a kid, I had the freedom, the luxury, the adventure of trick-or-treating through the streets of Queens, New York. And my imagination replaced all the brick and asphalt with rural Halloween splendor. But this Halloween, maybe we should call it Corona-ween. Kids are getting the biggest ripoff in the history of the world. No treats and one colossal trick fuck, courtesy of power-crazed shitbag politicians exercising authority they really don't have. But still, I put up all our usual decorations. I'll have bowls of candy, and if anyone rings my doorbell and says trick-or-treat, I'll fill their bag and compliment them on their costume and congratulate them on their guts. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Stop by the show page at thatlarryshow.com for more content and commentary. And click one of those subscribe buttons, Apple, Stitcher, whatever you prefer. Doesn't cost a thing, and that way you never miss an episode. If you like what you just heard, want to help me keep the candelabra lit, click that Patreon button, which enables you not only to help me fight commies, it gets you membership in the Take No Shit Dojo, with access to signed books, custom recordings, and dozens of bonus episodes. And speaking of bonus episodes, I've got a kick-ass one in store for you. As you know, I rarely have guests on my show. And this guy is a hell of a get, as they say. The most feared man on the internet. The famous and fabulous Carl of the legendary show Who Are These Podcasts? He gives us an inside look at his world, the psychos, the feuds, even the death threats. It'll be available at patreon.com/thatlarryshow in the next few days. Follow this show on Twitter and Facebook. Just plug That Larry Show in the search bar. You'll find us. We have a lot of fun there between episodes, and we really go after those commies. I'll see you next Wednesday, sooner on Patreon. And until that time, happy Halloween and take no shit.